So remember those 3D pictures we used to look at when we were kids? They're called stereograms. Here's a couple pictures of stereograms. They look basically like wallpaper, but they have a 3D image hidden in them. So you'd stare and you'd stare at one and it wouldn't look like anything. And then all at once, this picture would jump out at you, right? I used to feel such pressure looking at these things. It would drive me crazy. I mean, just hoping I could see what was in the background at least one time, maybe more. I would cave in. I'd be like, oh yeah, I'd see it if I was with a group of people. Just don't do that if they may ask you what you see and then you have to continue your lie. Anyway, it was really cool, right? So you'd stare at this image and all of a sudden this 3D picture would jump out at you. That's bogus. That's just toast. Anyway, the point is the 3D image was there all along. You just couldn't see it. You had to be patient. You had to sit there and kind of wait for it to jump out at you. So keeping that in mind, let's look at a story in the scriptures that will remind us of that. John chapter 20, the Gospel of John chapter 20. A little context for this passage. After 3 years of preaching and healing and raising up a few disciples, Jesus is killed. His own people get him killed by the Romans who crucify him. It's the most horrible execution possible. Jesus is arrested on a Thursday, crucified on a Friday morning, and buried the same afternoon. All but a few of his followers abandon him. And 2 days later, everyone is in hiding. And yet, there are a few brave souls. Early on a Sunday morning, a woman named Mary Magdalene and a few other women went to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body. This is a customary thing you do for someone who's died. It's like, it'd be like putting flowers on a recent tomb. And to their horror, they get to the grave and find it open. And this body is gone. They think Jesus has been stolen. Mary, at this point, runs to get a couple of her friends, a couple guys, runs to get Peter and John. She brings them back to the tomb. They go in, they see this empty tomb, and they're all, you know, wondering what's going on. At this point, Peter and John run back to their homes and leave Mary alone. Mary is so upset, she can't move. She just stands there, kind of frozen, staring at the tomb, crying. She needs to check one more time what's going on. So let's read together in John chapter 20, verse 11. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken away my Lord," she said, "and I don't know where they've put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. So in an instant, Mary is just totally transformed. From terrified to courageous, from crying, from weeping to probably laughing hysterically, right? From clinging to Jesus, from needing Jesus to herself, me and Jesus, to needing everyone to know what she just saw. When we see Jesus for who he truly is, everything changes. It's more than a stereogram. It's as if our eyes are opened for the very first time. So who was this Mary, anyway? Before meeting Jesus, Mary Magdalene was a slave to seven demons. The number seven, whenever it's used in the scriptures, is meant to imply completeness. In other words, she was a real mess, okay? She was probably what we would consider completely insane. She was in bad shape. But once healed, she follows Jesus everywhere. In fact, the scriptures say that she used her own money to support the work of the ministry. Mary Magdalene was as much of a disciple as the 12 disciples, I would say. In the 13th century, St. Thomas Aquinas called her the apostle to the apostles. We're talking one tough woman here. Who was this, I was trying to remember the name. Who was this boxer, this woman boxer? Anybody know? What was it? Ronda Rousey. Think that, okay? Tough woman here. Mary was one of four people that stuck with Jesus all the way to the foot of the cross. And here she is, convincing the disciples to come and then staying when they leave. So how is it that she doesn't recognize Jesus after all this time with Jesus? Looking right at him in the face, she says, "Tell me where you've put him and I will go get him." And I have no doubt she would have gone and got him if she could have. How does she not recognize him though? Who knows for sure? Maybe she's just so overcome with grief and exhaustion, she can't see straight. Whatever the case, she definitely wasn't expecting Jesus, okay? She was familiar with Jesus, like some of us, but she misunderstood him, right? She was looking for him, and then she was looking straight at him, but she still couldn't see him for what he really is. You ever felt like that? We're singing Jesus, Jesus, and we're like, I don't know who you really are, but we're singing it. We try. Someone here today, I could guarantee, has been looking for Jesus, maybe even looking at Jesus in some way, but not really knowing him and definitely not feeling known by him. But I believe that's going to change today. So what's the turning point for Mary? Anybody? What was the turning point? She hears her name. Hearing her name, Mary, he simply says. The minute he calls her name, she knew this was no gardener, this was no angel, this is no weird ghost. This was Jesus. This was her healer, her teacher, her friend. This was the one who made her life, her totally screwed up life. He's the one who made her life right. He was the only one who could resurrect her life. And the great turning point for all of us is the same thing. It's to encounter Jesus personally, to in some way hear him say our name. It changes everything when you realize that God not only cares about the world and the masses, he cares about people. He cares specifically about each of us. Hundreds of years earlier, God spoke through the prophet Isaiah, and he said, "But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you, O Israel. The one who formed you says, 'Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine.'" He's a personal God. So when Mary hears her name, suddenly it all clicks. Everything she's heard for these years, it clicked like a stereogram. Oh yeah, he's been telling us. His life, his death, his resurrection. She saw Jesus here in his full dimension. He really is God. It's really all true. You see, the infinite cosmic Jesus, the cosmic, the huge purposes of God are seen in these little finite, these little personal details. Just look how Jesus reveals himself after his resurrection. Instead of running into the city square or into the temple or floating over the city, right, which he could have done, what does he do? He goes to one person and reveals himself to one person at a time. Boom, boom. And if you keep reading the rest of the story, he does it again. He does it with Thomas. Thomas, touch me. Peter, I made breakfast for you. I mean, he's so personal. The first person to see the resurrected Jesus is an average, formerly insane woman who had lost all hope. So what does that tell you about Jesus? His style. The resurrection of Jesus has universal, eternal implications, but it's always manifest one person at a time. And like Mary, we don't need more information. You don't even necessarily need more preaching. You need an encounter with Jesus. Over and over throughout all the Gospels, that's what you see. He's resurrecting people all over the place. Resurrecting life, like totally dead life, and resurrecting like these little bits of hopelessness and brokenness in life everywhere he goes. One person at a time. That's just what he does. Before you were born, he wanted you. And he's been speaking to you ever since you were born, telling you who you are, why you're here, what he thinks of you. The question is, do you know his voice? You might say there's a hole in every human heart, a hole that can only be filled by hearing Jesus call your name. Sure, okay. So it might not be an audible voice like Mary experienced, but you know it when you experience it. What does he sound like? What does he say? He speaks to us through the scriptures, but he also gives us these little impressions that start to sound like words. You probably think I'm like a crazy man. But I do. I can start to hear God over time. This is why I'm glad I'm not 20 anymore. Over time, I've gotten to the point where I can hear him talking to me. I see you. I know you. I know how to fix this. I built you in the first place. I made you for my family. That's the kind of stuff he says to us. There's no greater confidence you can get than knowing you belong. Notice Jesus said to Mary, "Go to my brothers and tell them I'm ascending to my Father and your Father." How personal is that? Today there are billions of people who are just wanting to belong to something. They're looking for love and acceptance from all kinds of people and projects and things, from the addicts to the legalists, from the great explorers to the average people reading how to be happy on their cell phone. Everyone's looking for the same thing. Looking to fill that pre-programmed sense you were created for something more than you're currently living for. And all along, it's intimacy with God that you're looking for. Whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you want him to be or not, God is the only one that can satisfy you. Jesus proved by his resurrection that he was the long-promised Messiah the world desperately needed. And we become Christians when we finally admit we needed him, right? You become a Christian when you stop trying to save yourself and you turn to him, when you believe there's a God who can actually fix your broken life, who loves you not for what you've done, but for what he's done. You don't need to impress him, as if you could anyway. You don't need to earn your way to God. Jesus already did that. So we're going to receive communion this morning. This is an ancient ceremony, really, where we remember Jesus' last dinner with his friends called the Passover meal, this annual celebration that the people of God practiced, remembering their deliverance from Egypt. It was a little different this time, though. Jesus broke bread at the Last Supper. Jesus broke bread and he shared a cup of wine with them, like he had done a bunch of other times. But typically, the focus of Passover, the focus of this supper, was a lamb. Only this time, there's no lamb. You can imagine the disciples being like, where's the real meal? We're just going to drink wine and eat bread? And then Jesus compares his body to the bread as he tears it apart. And as he passes around a cup of wine, he compares it to his blood. He's the lamb. This was the reason he came to earth, to give his life as a sacrifice for anyone who wanted him. And so we carry on this tradition. We don't have a lot of traditions here at Grace, but this is one of them. We carry this sacrament on. This is your chance to respond. So here at Grace, we practice what we call an open table. All of you are welcome to participate in this. God left heaven to come to earth. We can leave our chairs and come forward to him. So just walk to the front, take a piece of bread, dip it in this juice, actually, in case you're like, you know, teetotaler. So just dip like this. Eat it, walk back to your seat. And as you do this, consider this. Do you know him? Do you really know him? Do you trust him? Oh yeah, I trust him. Do you trust him with that one weird area in your life? Do you trust him with every place in your life that needs resurrection power? Resurrection's only needed if something is really, really dead. So everyone, please come forward. Take a piece of bread, dip it in the juice, eat it as you go back to your seat. So come forward. Just remain standing if you would. Can we have the ministry team come forward? For some of you, that may be the first time you've ever received communion. Maybe it's the first time you've ever worshiped like this at all. Hopefully it isn't the last time. You see, one day we're going to all, I can swear this to you, we're going to all find ourselves before Jesus. All of us, everybody in this room. And only those who know him, only those who have a relationship with him will be welcomed in to an eternity with him. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. If you've never really given your life to God, I'm going to give you a chance to do that right now. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. For some of you, it might be the first time you've ever prayed something like this. For the rest of you, see it as a chance to recommit yourself to God, okay? Can we bow our heads? Would you pray with me? Just silently. God, I believe in you. I believe you gave up your life for my life. Thank you for wanting me that much. I believe you rose from the dead. I believe you're living today. As much as I can, I believe that. I'm sorry I haven't lived right I'm sorry for resisting you. I want to know you. I want to know your voice. I want to live differently, to live for you, to live the good life you designed for me. I give you my life. I give you my past, my present, my future. In Jesus' name, amen. If that was the first time you've ever prayed anything quite like that, we have a book for you we'd love to give you. Please come forward. If that was your first time you've ever prayed that, please come forward for this book. Let us pray with you. Our ministry team would love to pray for anyone who has any area of resurrection they need to see in your life. This has got to be one of the shortest services we've ever had in this building. So there's plenty of time. For everyone else, let's follow the example of Mary and go out of here today, not clinging to Jesus, but sharing the good news with every person you meet. You're dismissed. Come forward for prayer or dismissed. Have a great day. We love you.
Praise the name of the